If you've been to church the last few weeks, if you've been to Wednesday service, you know that the focus has been stories. Jesus is telling this parable, then he's telling that parable, then he's telling this story. And he's a great storyteller. And stories have a way of calming people who are nervous. Stories have a way of making sense of things. I mean, think about it. People used to sit around in the circle with a fire. There'd be some shaman or some religious figure, and he would tell stories to make sense of it all. And so Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem, and he tells a story to make sense of it all so that people understand exactly what's going on. Rather than saying, this is going to happen, he tells a story to make it known to them so that they would remember it and then pass that story on. Now, the greatest story that was ever told for the people of Israel was the story of the Exodus. The story of the Exodus was when God delivered the people of Israel out of captivity, brought them through the Red Sea. This was the salvation event. And if you talk to faithful Jews today, they still talk about it. They really do. They talk about it not like something that happened in the past. It's something that is happening with them. It is still with them. It is part of their identity. They do it every year at the Passover. But they talk about it like it's a living experience. It's their story. It's our people. Our people crossed over. In fact, they're so intimate about it that they'll actually say, we were there. We passed through the Red Sea with Moses. And they talk about it as a reality. So I thought to myself, let's talk about some stories, because Jesus in today's gospel has a story. Let's go there. Well, before we go there, Isaiah says something that's interesting. It's kind of shocking if you really think about it. He's talking about the story of the Exodus in Isaiah. But then he goes on to say, and says, behold, forget the former things. I'm going to do something new. Now, for a person or for a nation that hung on to the story of the Exodus, and it was their identity, for Isaiah to say, forget the past, I'm going to do something new in the desert. That was shocking. And so the people were in captivity. They were in Babylon. And God was saying through the prophet Isaiah, you know the story of the deliverance of the Exodus, but I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to deliver you from captivity. I'm going to take the desert. I'm going to open it up, springs of water, and you are going to come back to Jerusalem. And that had happened. It actually did happen. But there's a greater Exodus that is being fulfilled in this morning's gospel, and it is the story of the wicked tenants. We all probably heard the story before. A landlord, an absentee landlord, sets up a vineyard. Goes away, sends servants to the tenants to get the fruit of the labor. Sends the first one, they treat this person with shame. They beat him, throw him out. The second one, they do the same thing. The third one, they do the same. They treat these people with shame. They reject them and send them away empty-handed. So the landlord thinks to himself, I know what I will do. I will send the heir. They at least will respect him. But they don't. They look at the situation and they go, this is the heir. If we kill this guy, we will inherit the vineyard and we will have complete control. I thought about this. This is a terrible story. It's a wicked story. But in the process of the evil that they do, good comes out of it. Jesus talks about the parable with this conclusion. He says, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. What he's saying here is the old which the people clung to is going to go away. The temple, the sacrificial system, the Levitical priesthood, all of that is going to come to an end. And what's going to come as a new is Christ in his ministry, the kingdom. And then he goes on to say, that if you fall on this stone, you will be broken to pieces. But if the stone falls upon you, you will be crushed. Now, there's an old rabbinic saying that goes like this, and it's possible that they would have known this saying, and so when Jesus said this, they'd say, oh, I understand. The saying goes like this, if I can remember it correctly. If a pot falls on a stone, woe to the pot. And if the stone falls on the pot, woe to the pot. In other words, either way, there's going to be destruction. Either way, the pot is going to come to an end. And so what Jesus is saying is, if you fall upon this stone, which is Jesus Christ, you will be broken into pieces. But if the stone falls on you, you will be crushed. What he's saying here is that if you repent, if you allow the message to come into your heart and recognize that you have sinned, recognize that you've been wicked, recognize that you have done wrong, then you will be broken to pieces. Humiliation, repentance. But that will spring forth in life. However, if you resist this, the stone will fall on you and will bring judgment. And in 70 AD, Titus comes in and destroys all of Jerusalem. I thought to myself, what a story. It's a familiar story, isn't it? In Galilee, it wasn't unfamiliar to have a landlord literally set up a vineyard north of Jerusalem. Set up a vineyard, go far away into another country, and to hire people to mend or to attend to his vineyard. But because of the unrest in Galilee, because of the political unrest and the fact that people didn't trust each other and the fact that there was animosity amongst each other, specifically those in leadership, a lot of times they just would not cooperate. Be like having an apartment and you lease it out and the tenant moves in and doesn't pay the rent. Well, this was a common occurrence, especially in Galilee, because Galilee was a place of rebellion, a place of revolts. This is where people hid out in the hills around the Sea of Galilee to try to overcome the government. So when Jesus tells this story, it's familiar. But it's also familiar because we also see it in the Exodus. Now, I know the players have changed, but the story is pretty much the same if you use your imagination. Pharaoh and Egypt wanted to kill Israel. And who was Israel? Israel was God's heir. God had chosen Israel from all of the nations of the whole world to be his son, his heir. And what did Pharaoh and Egypt want to do to them? They wanted to destroy them. And so they went after them. But God told them to take a lamb and to sacrifice the lamb and to put the blood on the doorpost. And if the angel of death saw that blood, he would pass by. But if they didn't cooperate and didn't kill the lamb and there was no blood on the doorpost, there would be death of the firstborn son. And then God would open the waters and deliver the people of Israel. And that same water that brought deliverance to Israel as they walked on the dry ground was the same water that destroyed the Egyptians. Just like the stone that would fall upon someone, or if you fell upon the stone, there would be both repentance, brokenness, or there would be judgment. So that same water, that same vehicle, brought life and also brought death. Is it possible that God could use wickedness? Is it possible that God could use evil to bring about good? Well, I think the greatest evil in all of the world is the crucifixion. The story that we remember on Good Friday, that sinful men and women could send the Son of God to the cross to die, to set a captive free who was a criminal, and to crucify the Son of God. That is the greatest wickedness. But it's in that wickedness that God brings forth life and salvation. Two stories, very similar. The similar story is that there's wickedness and there's people that are plotting against the will of God, but in the end, the will of God is done anyway. And then I think about the last story, which is the story of Saint Paul. In today's epistle, Paul is talking about forgetting those things which are behind, very similar to what Isaiah is saying. Behold, I do everything new, so forget the past. And Saint Paul is picking up on that same thinking, that same idea. He's saying, I do one thing. I forget what is behind me and I move towards which is my goal. And what is his goal? His goal is to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, but having the righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the story that is before St. Paul. Now, who is St. Paul? Do you remember his story? He has a past. He has skeletons in his closet. Before he was St. Paul, he was Saul. And what did Saul do? Well, he thought he was doing the will of God. He persecuted the church, didn't he? And we know from Acts that he went outside of the city, outside of the walled city, and he consented to the death of Stephen. But he thought he was doing God's will by consenting to his death, the first martyr of the church. And it didn't stop there. He persecuted, pulling Christians out of their homes and throwing them into prison, thinking that he was doing the will of God. He was doing the same thing that the wicked tenants were doing. But God turned him around on the road. God gave him light, and so he repented. He fell upon that rock, and he was broken in repentance and was given new life. The story of salvation is that God takes wickedness. God takes the evil intentions of men and women, and he turns them around to bring life, showing that he is in complete control. You know, we all have stories, and I think a lot of times we tell stories to each other, and some of these stories I've heard, and you know the stories. They're usually stories of the past. And I think the reason why we tell stories is we just simply want to make sense of things. We want to calm our anxiety. We want to calm our nerves. So we tell stories so that we can have assurance, and we find other people who will agree with our story so that we'll feel good. Dear brothers and sisters, the story that should be forthright in our mind is the story that St. Paul talks about. Christ is the story. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. This is the story. Now, we have stories of Pastor Stammel. We have stories of Pastor Kron. We have stories of the school 100 years ago. We are full of stories. But the one story we should keep focus is the story of our salvation, which is our identity. This is what truly matters. St. Paul says, I press towards, I strain towards the goal, which is to be found in Christ. This should also be our story.